like that. Okay.
I think it's recording now.
Okay.
Do you want me to do any intro? Talk about that you're a paralegal playwright?
Please don't. Please don't.
Headquartered in Brooklyn. Where do you live now? Queens?
No, Brooklyn. Brooklyn.
Okay. But you were talking about... Oh, okay. So you wanted to move to Queens.
I wanted to move to Queens. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's where you got to move now. It's the only place where the artist can live. Amazon can't even afford to live there.
Oh, my God.
Topical humor to start the podcast. All right.
Oh, my God. Banter.
No, I'll cut that out. Okay. Year 4, William Glick, Oscars podcast, 2019. William, who were you pleased to see nominated?
Okay. So, Marina de Tavira for Roma for Best Supporting Actress, which was a huge surprise. It, like, came out of nowhere.
Does she have any chance to win, William?
Yes. I actually think she has about – I think the supporting actress race is a three-way competition between her, Rachel Weisz, and Regina King. So,
who were the other two nominees for the listeners?
Amy Adams and for Weisz and Emma Stone for The Favorite.
You don't expect an Amy Adams makeup Oscar?
No, I don't, because she didn't win the SAG Award.
Who won the SAG Award?
Emily Blunt for A Quiet Place, who wasn't even nominated for the Oscar.
All right. Well, I support that, but
yeah.
Continue with your justification.
It's not a supporting performance, though. So
agreed.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was super happy that she got nominated, because it's nice when, like, a surprise is also for a really good performance.
Agreed.
Because she's clearly the best in that category. I was pretty happy about Melissa McCarthy and Richard E. Grant being nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me, even though that was a little more expected. But I think that movie that's one of the best movies of the year, I think. And I think
I could not agree more. What an absolute delight. And that Nicole Holof Center is nominated for that movie?
She is, for adapted screenplay.
She is a national treasure. She should have multiple Academy Awards for her screenwriting and probably a Genius Grant, but I'll get to that later.
Yeah, I think she should win, but I don't think she's going to. And Mariel Heller. Oh, sorry.
Who's that?
Mariel Heller is the director of Can You Ever Forgive Me, and she should have been nominated.
Oh, I thought you were going to say she was nominated.
No, she wasn't. She should have been, but she
We're not at snubs yet, William.
Okay.
This is only pleased to be nominated.
Okay. And then the last category I was pretty happy about was the Best Director category, because Yorgos Lanthimos is in it, and Alfonso Cuarón, and also Pavel Pelikowski for Cold War. I think it's just, like, a pretty great lineup. And Spike Lee is in it, who is, like, I don't think BlacKkKlansman is a very good film, but, like, I'm pretty happy Spike Lee has an Oscar nomination for directing, because this is his first one.
Good for Spike.
Yeah.
Awful movie.
It's not awful. I think it's just mediocre.
It is a disaster, William. An absolute disaster. But we'll get to that when we talk about who's going to win in every category. I'm somewhat torn this year because of my inherent hatred of the Oscars and how I feel like, you know, they will always award the movies that are least deserving. But I think two of the best movies I saw this year were The Favorite. What are these noises you're making?
What noises am I making?
I'm getting very strange noises from you.
Sorry, I think it's because I got up to walk across the room. Maybe you just heard my feet.
I'm hearing your slippers.
Okay, I'll sit very quietly.
But yeah, I think two of the best movies I saw this year were The Favorite and Roma, and those are the two movies with the most nominations. But I feel like every category they're nominated in, there's a movie that I absolutely despise in there. So how do I square those two circles? I don't know, William.
Yeah, I feel sort of similarly. I feel like this is one of the best years for movies I can remember in a long time. And
I also came in thinking it was a terrible year, but when I sat down to assemble my list of the best movies of the year, I was like, oh, there's actually a bunch of fantastic movies.
Yeah, it was a really good year, and some of that is reflected in the Oscars this year, but, like, it's weird because there's no, like, in-between Oscar nominations. Like, they've either nominated some of the best films of the year or some of the absolute worst, and it's, like, there's something very, like, schizophrenic about it.
And I think that's probably reflective of the population who is now voting on the Oscars, because they brought in a bunch of new people who potentially have good taste and then a bunch of old people who still have bad taste. And so you have a very bifurcated voting block.
I think that's exactly right. I think you're seeing an Academy that is going through some serious growing pains, and it's having an identity crisis. And I think if you actually had a list of Academy members, you would see an almost 50-50 split of, like, younger, sort of more culturally aware members, and then, like, old dotards or doters, whatever that word is.
And, well, maybe you can describe why, you know, just to transfer to our biggest snubs, why First Reformed, I think one of the best movies in recent memory, wasn't nominated at all.
I think First Reformed wasn't nominated because of the dream sequence.
Oh, the dream sequence.
Spoil the movie for people.
I'm pro spoilers, so spoil away.
So, like, First Reformed, for the first, like, hour or so, is this very, like, serious, realistic drama. And then there's a scene where he, like, holds Ethan Hawke's character, is, like, he's cuddling with Amanda Seyfried's character. And you think they're going to have sex. And then it's
I didn't think that, you pervert.
Well, I thought it, because it just seemed logical. And then it turns into this elaborate kind of, like, hallucinogenic sequence where they, like, imagine, like, the world ending and, like, environmental disaster. And they, like, fly over together, like, various, like, sites of destruction from global warming. And I think, like, I remember seeing it with my friend, and we loved it, but we were also like, this is a lot. Like, this is a lot for an audience to take in. And I think the film is, like, a little too – it's too serious to be popular. Like, it's too much of a drama. But it's, like, too art housey to have mainstream Academy appeal. And I
do think it's
also
falling in a kind of limbo zone?
Yeah, I do. And I also think Ethan Hawke probably came very close. And I bet if you got the vote totals for nominations, he was the runner-up. Like, I'm sure he almost made it in.
I could agree with all of that. There is an experimental movie hiding in this very seemingly traditional film in there with this hallucinatory sequence. But the idea that Ethan Hawke still wasn't nominated, typically, you know, just, William, what are these sounds? Are you moving again?
I'm in a revolving chair.
Get out of the chair. We can hear the chair.
Oh, my God.
It sounds like Bane is breathing into my ear.
I might also be, like, breathing heavily.
Maybe stop breathing. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Wait, no. In through your mouth, out through your nose, William.
God.
Try breathing now.
I can't. I feel very self-conscious now.
Good. Maybe that'll stop the sound. do we want to start again, or you want to keep going?
I never thought we had a problem. I think we should keep going.
Wonderful. First Reform should have been nominated for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress Amanda Seyfried, and Best Supporting Actor Cedric the Entertainer. None of these people are nominated, Will.
I think the supporting categories are really pushing it, but I think Ethan Hawke and the film and Paul Schrader should have all been nominated.
You don't think Amanda Seyfried should have been nominated? This girl was in Mamma Mia,
no.
And then she's in First Reform. Who else has this kind of range?
No, I do not think she deserved a nomination for that movie, even though I think she's very good in it. And so is Cedric the Entertainer.
List off the supporting actresses again.
The supporting actress category this year is not very good, but there were many better performances to choose from than Amanda Seyfried in First Reformed.
List them. Who's in it?
Okay. Well, you asked me to renominate a category.
Right.
So the category I actually renominated was supporting actress.
But you didn't put Amanda Seyfried in it.
I did not put Amanda Seyfried in it.
What
would you like me
doing?
To read you my nominees?
Read it.
Okay, so the people who are nominated in supporting actress, again, Amy Adams for Vice, Gina J. Tavira for Roma,
all right.
Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk,
get out
and
of here.
Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone for The Favorite.
Why?
Which is category fraud, because they're not supporting their lead.
Agreed.
So I would, of those five, I would keep Marina de Tavira for Roma, so that's the only one.
I agree.
I would add Elizabeth Debicki for Widows.
Oh, she's great.
Dolly Wells for Can You Ever Forgive Me, Michelle Yeoh for Crazy Rich Asians, and Claire Foy for First Man.
I think you've greatly improved that category, William.
I think so, too.
When we get to our question about how the Oscars can be fixed, and my answer is let William run the Oscars.
I think I should host them.
You think you should host them?
I think I should host them.
Perfect segue.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, do you agree that he should have been thrown out of respectable society? And who should host now that he's been thrown out of respectable society?
I think the tweets alone were not disqualifying.
I thought they were hilarious.
What I think was disqualifying was the apology.
Oh, here we go. He had just said,
I messed up, sorry, I won't do it again, and moved on, I think he'd still be hosting the Oscars. I mean, Chris Rock had some similar, not tweets, but like similar kind of like homophobic jokes.
Chris Rock has way more problematic material than Kevin Hart.
Yeah, I don't think Kevin Hart is a bad guy. I think he might be a stupid guy.
He's definitely a stupid guy.
Definitely stupid. But like, if he had just apologized quickly and not equivocated and not tried to like make it seem like he hadn't, like he just owned up to it, he'd be hosting the Oscars.
This is a tangential conversation, but so many comedians now have to double as free speech warriors in ways that are completely detrimental to my respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart has now joined this crew along with Jerry Seinfeld and Comedians Getting Coffee and pretty much everyone who's ever appeared on that show. But that's neither here nor there. Who should host the Oscars, William?
I made a list. Okay. So I think actually not having a host, which is what's happening this year, is totally fine and not a big deal. So I think the people who should host the Oscars are either the cast of movies that have been nominated.
Oh, that's fun.
I think like this year the Oscars should have been hosted by like the cast.
The cast of Cold War.
Oh my God, that would be amazing. That's like my perfect Oscars.
Cast of Black Panther would be fun.
Cast of Black Panther. Cast of Crazy Rich Asians.
Okay.
Maybe even the cast of Bohemian Rhapsody, which I heard people like. I haven't seen it.
I watched it on an airplane. It's an abomination.
Yeah, it sounds like a nightmare.
It's a VH1 original movie.
But any kind of like even like the cast of like in that Avengers Infinity War, like Robert Downey Jr. is
You're going too far into the weeds, William.
Okay.
Bring it back in.
So cast of movies, also characters from movies. Specifically animated characters or the Muppets. I also think The Rock would be great. I think he will eventually host.
The Rock is a great answer.
And I think Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin should also host. And Meryl Streep, because she's the queen of the Oscars. And I also think it'd be fun if the nominees hosted. Like, you get the honor of being nominated, but then, like, you also have to host it. Like, there's some responsibility that comes with it.
Right.
And finally, also just Ellen, who I think, like, did a very good job and kind of is, like, that perfect sweet spot of, like, edgy and, like, appealing to middle America and, like, uncontroversial. Like, I feel like she should have just come back.
Who doesn't love Ellen?
I know. Ellen is sort of, like, an ideal... Well, because the Oscars used to be hosted by these kind of universally beloved media figures, right? Like Bob Hope, Johnny Carson. Billy Crystal, like in the late 80s, like loved by everyone in the country. We don't really have like media
James
figures.
Franco.
Not James Franco. But like we don't have media figures like that anymore, like because they're so politically bifurcated and everyone is controversial in some way. But like the closest thing we have to that is probably Ellen. Like,
we no longer exist in a monoculture, William.
We don't. There's no such thing.
Completely fractured, except for the person who I chose to host the Oscars.
Which was?
Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump.
Oh, my God. That's my worst nightmare.
I think we should subject the entire country to 4 hours of his god-awful Donald Trump impression in order to finally reach... the critical moment when we will cancel Saturday Night Live forever and save the culture from itself.
Oh, my God. Do you like Donald Trump's tweets whenever he says cancel Saturday Night Live? You just like them all and retweet them.
I have unfollowed our president, but if I was still following them, I would be saving him because Broken Clock is right twice a day, and Saturday Night Live is Saturday Night Live at this point is helping the cause of fascism.
I just don't understand why they haven't replaced Alec Baldwin with Rosie O'Donnell. Like, it makes no sense.
We should replace Donald Trump with Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah, on both counts. But I would watch. I think if it was Rosie O'Donnell as Donald Trump hosting the Oscars, that would really, really appeal.
What about Rosie O'Donnell as Alec Baldwin hosting the Oscars?
Oh my God! And someone else could play Steve Martin? Because we know that Alec Baldwin has hosted the Oscars with Steve Martin. Like that's
well,
what happened.
What's the Nancy Meyers movie that they're both in?
It's Complicated. It was the year that came out.
Fantastic movie.
I've never seen it.
More evidence that the cast should support or should host the Oscars. They should just have the cast of the Nancy Meyers movie host the Oscars.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be fun to have just like the ensemble of like the nominated movies like come out and like take over the show, and then they could rotate it.
Well, this was the year that they were supposed to implement new categories, correct?
Yes.
But then they jumped off that ship. But there should be a Best Ensemble Performance Oscar.
They were really only going to implement one new category, which was
Best Superhero Movie.
Yeah, basically. I agree there should be a Best Ensemble category. Or I would call it a Best Casting category. And maybe it goes to the casting director.
They would show that during the commercials, William.
Are we going to talk about that atrocity?
We can talk about it later. What messages are the voting block of the Oscars trying to send to audiences with these nominations?
I think it's like we said earlier, they're split, right? So it's like there's one section of the Academy that's saying, look how much more diverse we are, like look how progressive we are. And there's another section of the Academy that's saying, like, you know, they don't make movies like Green Book anymore. Just good Hollywood entertainment for everyone to enjoy. And you see those competing interests, like, in the nomination, you know?
My answer is that it's more diverse than ever, but it's as dumb as ever. I don't think, as much as I enjoyed Black Panther, I don't think it should be nominated for Best Picture, but that might be me being a stodgy old man. What do you think about that?
I mean, I definitely think you're being racist.
I definitely think that the movie ends with 30 minutes of CGI vomit, and this should not be considered, you know, alongside Roma as a piece of filmmaking.
I would not have nominated Black Panther for Best Picture.
Well, at least we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
How has Me Too and Donald Trump affected the Oscars, besides that Vice can be nominated for an award?
I think that Me Too has had a much bigger effect. I think that, like, any Republican affects the Oscars, right? Like, George Bush definitely affected the Oscars. But I think Me Too has actually – I think one of the reasons the ratings were so low last year was because every single person who won was giving the same Me Too speech over and over and over again.
Right.
And I think –
But now you've seen that superficial activism
– Yeah. It's
move
the most...
into actual progress?
No, I don't think – I think it's incredibly superficial. I think it turns people off. And I also think politics only break through at the Oscars if they stand out from the rest of the speeches. So, like, you remember the Michael Moore Iraq War moment.
Right.
Because it was the only speech like that at that Oscars.
Right.
But if every single person is giving the same Me Too speech about equity in Hollywood – it sounds like they've all been brainwashed. Like, it doesn't sound like there's anything original or there's nothing brave about it.
So you say it's a brave decision to nominate Bryan Singer for Best Director when I renominate my category?
Bryan Singer was not nominated for Best Director.
But his film was nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, like, I feel like people who voted for that don't even know he directed it because he hasn't been involved in publicity at all. He's been totally removed from
confused.
The film. They are confused. They don't know how to fucking vote.
clearly not.
No, but I do think that, like, what Michael Moore did, and even, like, what Vanessa Redgrave did, look it up, at the 70s Oscars, those were sort of brave, controversial things to say.
Sure.
It's not a brave thing to prove how woke you are. And actually, like, it's exhausting to watch, like, 24, 25 winners each try to top the other one. Like, there has to be some kind of, like, act of courage behind it and not just trying to prove, like, that you're better than everyone in the room and watching the telecast. Like, people
sure.
see through that.
But also, when Michael Moore gave that speech, I bet if you polled most of the people in that room, they were supporting the invasion of Iraq. But if you polled everyone in the room last year, they all superficially supported the Me Too movement, then they turn around and give Bryan Singer a Best Picture nomination.
Yeah. I also think that, like, I don't think that the Bohemian Rhapsody compares. Because, like, again, they don't associate that movie with Bryan Singer. But, like, for example, last year, James Franco, who, like, in any other year would have been nominated for The Disaster Artist, like,
right.
Me Too totally derailed that nomination. Like, that's why he wasn't nominated.
Do you believe he should have won?
No, I don't. I didn't even see the movie. I'm just saying, like, I'm saying that statistically, based on the precursors he was nominated for and won, he would have been a very likely nominee.
Who did win last year?
It was Gary Oldman for Darkest
Hour. Oh, my God. You want to give him... And
I don't.
Went
I think
over
Timothy Chalamet should have won for Call Me By Your Name.
I agree. He's
yeah.
going to be incredible in the Dune remake.
Oh, my God. I just want him to keep wearing harnesses.
I think the way that Trump has affected the Oscars is that, I think Black Panther is on another thing. I'm going to get even more racist now, that I think Black Klansmen is a disaster of a movie with a completely pandering, almost death profiteering moment at the end of it. I'm going to spoil it, William. You've seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
In which, after hammering you over the head the entire movie with its agenda, it then shows the death of Heather Heyer at Charlottesville, ends with a kind of graphic of her face, as if we weren't able to piece together that this was a movie saying, like, there was racism back then, and there's racism now, and there's consequences. It's like an undergraduate essay screaming at you. There's, like, not that Spike Lee was ever a subtle filmmaker, but, I mean, come on, William, where's the artistry? I mean, half of the movie isn't even edited.
I don't know.
But because he can append this pandering moment to the end of it, I feel like he could sneak through and I guess also build on the fact that he should have been nominated 5 times already.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it's a really mediocre movie. I don't hate it. I thought it was fine. I barely remember it, which tells you something about my experience.
I remember that it was 2 hours and 55 minutes long.
I think the most outrageous Black Klansman Oscar story is that Adam Driver got a nomination for it, which I think
is that like, real?
Yes, he is nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
And he wasn't nominated for Patterson?
No.
They need to cancel this. They need to cancel this. SNL, they need to take away Black Klansman's nomination.
Delete their account.
But you know the, like, warm feeling that all these Oscar voters get when they watch the end of Black Klansman is the same warm feeling that they get when they sit through Vice and are like, Dick Cheney? He was a bad guy. And they're like,
I couldn't.
Race. You had to walk out?
I watched it on a friend's screener, and I said, please stop playing it. And he agreed.
I will say, as I find Adam McKay to be one of the most aesthetically repulsive filmmakers maybe ever.
Yeah.
That's
actually the worst nomination is his directing nomination. It's truly insulting.
Trumped up YouTube. Like, his movie is as much a mess as Black Klansman is. They're trying to make an extremely simple political point in the most incoherent, tonally up and down way possible. But I will say that Adam McKay's speech when he won for Best Screenplay is, I think, another one of those political moments where he was like, if we nominate Hillary, Donald Trump is going to be president. And they all laughed him off the stage and cut him off. And then what happened, William?
But did he say that in his speech?
Well, he was advocating that Bernie should be nominated.
Oh,
that they had made a terrible mistake
right.
by nominating Hillary.
Well, I think that this year most of the Democratic nominees were going to pull from a South Florida retirement community. So we'll
Thank
have a
God.
Similar effect as Bernie Sanders.
do you want to do your predictions for the top 5 categories?
I want to do my snubs.
Oh, do your snubs. Well, mine
okay.
was First Reformed and Nicole – wait, you said Nicole Hoff Center was nominated?
No, she was nominated. So she
okay,
was
good.
Nominated. Okay, I had a lot of snubs this year, but I'll only name a couple. So I think Emily Blunt was robbed for the Mary Poppins movie. I think that what she does in that movie to, like, do that performance in the shadow of Julie Andrews and then both pay homage to it but also do something totally original and, like, totally different from Julie Andrews is, like, is brilliant and incredibly difficult. And I think she's much more deserving of a Best Actress nomination than Lady Gaga. By a lot. John David Washington for Black Klansman, which I know is a movie you hated, and I thought.
Well, I would rather him. I think he's good in the movie.
I think he's really good too, and I think his.
I also think
really
his girlfriend is really good in the movie.
I don't remember her.
I think
especially like having to play like both the activist and the cop,
right?
And the struggle and the contradictions that he deals with, and it's so internal. I just think it's actually a much more complicated performance than the movie itself, and
correct.
I think he should have been nominated.
I can agree.
I think First Man was snubbed across the board, which is a
travesty. I can agree.
It should have been nominated in picture, director, actor, and supporting actress, and for score. The score is the best score of the year.
It's an amazing score, but Claire Foy is goofy as hell in that movie.
Yeah, but in a fun way.
I don't believe so. But that movie is, in 15 years, you're like, this movie is underrated. It is exponentially better than La La Land.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's his best movie. And he's only made three, but that's by far his best movie.
Nah, I think Whiplash is still better. But
he
redeemed himself in my eyes, so what more does he want from his career?
He's only 33. He's directed those three films.
Well, two for three.
Yeah. And then the biggest... and then three, like, huge Best Actress snubs. First of all, it was just an amazing year for actresses, like, in general. Like, you could easily swap out the five nominees for five other nominees, and you
right.
have just as good, if not stronger, category. Carey Mulligan in Wildlife was robbed.
She's very good.
Toni Collette in Hereditary was robbed.
Very good.
And I would have voted for her to win had she been nominated. And Joanna Kulig for Cold War should have been nominated.
Well, you're big on Cold War, William.
I love – did you see it?
I did not, no.
It's really, really good. I think you'll really like it.
I went to see Shoplifters instead. It stunk.
But I thought that was terrible, wasn't it? It was so boring.
So bad. Talk about hammering your audience over the head with your message. The real families are the ones we choose, William.
I walked out of that one, too.
Deep stuff. Give the foreign to Roma. Give Best Picture to Roma. Call it a day. You think Glenn Close deserved to be nominated?
Yes. Not
for
Wife. Well, okay.
Getting through that movie, I was like, this is based on a like play from the 80s that was shown once that someone inherited a bunch of money and decided to turn it into a movie. No, it's based on a Meg Wolitzer novel. The dialogue sounds like it was written by a person who grew up in a country with a population of one. It's like they had never observed a human interaction in my life, in their life.
I think that the three – I think I named four Best Actress performances that I thought were snubbed. I think all of those performances were better than Glenn Close in The Wife. But I think Glenn Close is very good in The Wife, and I have no problem with people giving makeup Oscars if the performance is good. Like, Julianne Moore in Still Alice, that's not a performance that people are going to remember. But, like, Julianne Moore needed to have an Oscar, and she's really good in that movie.
Yeah, I'm anti-makeup Oscar. We've been over this in our 10 other podcasts.
I'm very pro-makeup. I mean, like, who else do you want to win in the category if not Glenn Close?
Melissa McCarthy.
But there's
the
no way she's going to win.
The woman who gave the best performance of the year.
She's not going to, but she has no chance. She has
no chance
of winning. Would you rather Olivia Colman than Glenn Close? Because she's the biggest competition.
Yes.
I guess, like, is the Olivia Colman performance better, like, yes, but I don't think it's better by that much, and I also think this is Glenn Close's last chance.
Well, 1 to 10, what would you give Glenn Close's performance?
7.
With decimals?
7.7, a high 7.
What would you give Olivia Colman?
I give her a 7.1, a low 7.
What would you give Melissa McCarthy?
A 9.
Agreed. Yeah. Although I would have Olivia Colman much higher, but I would also have Rachel Weisz and Emma Stone in this category, or one of them, because they were both better than Glenn Close in that play written by an alien.
I just think that, like, certain people have to have their Oscars. And it's much better to give Glenn Close an Oscar for this than a situation where you're giving Al Pacino an Oscar for Scent of a Woman.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But Olivia Colman, you think she's going to be nominated for an Oscar again?
Yes.
That's worth anything?
She'll win in the future. She's not that old, and she's about to be on the fucking Crown. Like,
you think they're going to give her an Oscar for the Crown?
No, I'm just saying that, like, people are going to know who she is. She's going to become, like, Olivia Colman is going to become more famous. Glenn Close is going to become more dead. So it's like...
Well, I can't disagree with that.
I mean, she's 72.
She's had an incredible career. Good for her that she's finally getting the Oscar.
She lost to Cher. That's the ultimate humiliation.
Are you kidding? Moonstruck is the best romantic comedy ever made.
It's such a bad movie. It's so
it is incredible. Pure love put to celluloid. What are your predictions for the 5 categories, Bozo?
Okay. There are, first of all, you said there are 5 major categories, which is wrong.
How many are there?
There are 8 major categories because you left off. Because you left off director and screenplay, just like the Academy telecast. Leaving off categories left and right. Like, no, there's no cinematography. There's no makeup. Okay, so here are my predictions. And I'm also going to tell you who I think could spoil. So for adapted screenplay, I am predicting Black Klansman. With If Beale Street Could Talk as the spoiler.
That's another two bad screenplays. What are the other nominees?
Can You Ever Forgive Me is one of them.
Oh, my God. That's
but I don't think it's going to win. And Star is Born is one of them, too.
Okay.
For original screenplay, I'm predicting, so sad to say this, but I am going to predict Green Book.
Oh, my God. What? Who wrote this? The Farrelly Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But I think that The Favorite is a very likely spoiler. Like, I think that race is very close. And, like, so, again, it's a very schizophrenic Oscars because, like, it's either going to be Green Book, one of the worst movies of the year, or The Favorite, one of the best movies of the year.
I will say it's my least favorite Yorgos Lanthimos movie, but that is because the other three are, like, masterpieces.
It's not as good as Sacred Deer. Sure.
Sacred
Deer is incredible. So that's screenplay. For supporting actress, I'm predicting Regina King. For Beale
she almost
Street.
Got killed at the Knicks game last night.
She did? Wow, what happened?
A 7'3" center went flying into the crowd and almost kicked her in the face.
Oh, my God.
His sneaker went right over her head.
Well, that's going to help her with the empathy voting.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm predicting her, but that race is the most unpredictable. Like, I think that Rachel Weisz could easily win there.
She has an Oscar for Constant Gardner.
She does. She could have a
second
one.
Give it to
one.
Regina King. Who cares? Who were the other two nominees?
I think I listed the nominees for supporting
keep
actress.
Keep listing them.
Five times.
I keep forgetting
the
them. If oh, wait. The Roma
King,
mom. The
yeah,
Roma
I think
mom.
She could win, too. Because I think, okay. I think that they clearly love that performance. And I also think that, like, her best moments in that film are at the very end. So, like, right. You're going to remember, like, you leave thinking about that scene where she, like, tells the kids that their father's not coming back.
Right.
You know? So
she takes them to the beach.
Oh, God, that fucking beach scene. But I'm predicting Regina King because I think that that character's super likable. And also, I think that she's worked in Hollywood a really long time and has a lot of friends who will vote for her.
Good for Regina.
For supporting actor, I'm predicting Mahershala Ali for Green Book, even though I think Richard E. Grant could spoil.
You think he's going to win back-to-back Oscars?
Well, not back-to-back. He won 2 years ago.
Okay.
But
who's the person in the middle?
What do you mean? I think Richard E. Grant. The person in between Mahershala Ali's two Oscars?
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell for 3 Billboards.
Oh, God. Keep going. Give it to Mahershala.
But they're both nominated this year, Mahershala and Sam.
Oh, God. For George W. Bush?
Yep, Sam Rockwell nominated.
Oh, my God. All right. Keep going.
For Best Actress, I'm predicting Glenn Close with Olivia Colman as a spoiler. The category I am most confident about predicting, and I think I would never say this, is, like, Rami Malek is going to win Best Actor. And I don't think anyone else has a pass. Like, there's no alternate. Like,
he's won all the precursors?
He's won every precursor. I don't see, like, in all the categories I've listed, I could see any of the alternates I've picked winning. I feel very confident that Rami Malek is going to win. And I never imagined I'd be saying
that. I cannot. It's as bad as the Darkest Hour performance. They are beyond caricature. It's as if they're doing a satire of Freddie Mercury in the movie. Like, Borat quit this shit for a reason.
Is he worse than Eddie Redmayne in Theory of Everything?
He's on par, but
Eddie
Redmayne might be better than what Rami Malek is doing in that movie. There are lines of dialogue in that movie that I don't even know.
I
it was like they wrote it a minute before they started shooting. It's just like, you guys don't...
Oh, I was gonna say it'll be the first Oscar-winning performance I haven't seen since Jeff Bridges in Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart's a good movie.
Yeah, but I normally see every Oscar-winning performance. I will not be seeing Bohemian Rhapsody.
I saw every movie except Green Book because it's anti-Italian discrimination.
It is very anti-Italian. It deals with a lot of negative Italian stereotypes.
Most movies do.
Yeah, you know, it's a very Goomba movie.
Unbelievable. It's 2019, William. When are we going to have a movie about how Italians are good? Moonstruck.
I hate that movie. I'm predicting Alfonso Cuarón to win director, which is crazy to me that he is, like, is it the Three Amigos, and that's what they call themselves, Cuarón, Iñárritu, and Del Toro. They're going to compose five of the last, like, six Best Director Oscars.
Well, I feel like Alfonso has earned it, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's clearly the best of the three, and he's also clearly a genius. So I don't begrudge him because I think it is the best directed movie of the year by far.
I agree.
It's just as crazy to me that, like, it makes me bitter that he had to win for Gravity and steal that Oscar from Steve McQueen. Because Steve McQueen should have won for 12 Years a Slave.
For shame.
And now they're going to give Alfonso Cuarón a second Oscar, admittedly like a deserved one, but like he still has that fucking Oscar for Gravity.
Steve McQueen should have been nominated for Widows.
Yes, and Shame. Let's not forget Shame.
I just said Shame. I think about Shame every day.
Well, clearly.
One of the best incest movies of the past 25 years. I've seen them all.
I am the Carrie Mulligan to your Michael Fassbender. And then for Best Picture, I'm kind of at a loss because statistically, Roma should win. And I think Roma's the front runner. But something tells me that I'm not going to get what I want. I also think, like, Roma is a black and white movie. It is in Spanish, and it's produced by Netflix.
Right.
And there's a lot of anti-Netflix bias. I think Hollywood is afraid of Netflix.
This is the insider baseball that you provide to our listeners.
I know. A foreign language film has never won Best Picture, ever. I don't know. I think it's, like, too good to be true. So, like, hope for Roma to win, but expect Green Book to win.
My God. What would a Green Book and or Bohemian Rhapsody Best Picture Oscar mean for society?
I don't want to speculate about a Bohemian Rhapsody Oscar because I think that's pretty unlikely. I think.
I looked at the betting odds. I might have placed a bet or two, and Roma is actually the favorite at -400. Which is
yeah,
great.
Roma's definitely the front runner for sure.
And then, but second was Black Klansman.
I don't agree with that.
I don't know how many precursors it's won.
It hasn't won any. If it had won a precursor, I would say yes.
Or maybe Black Klansman was just the second one I bet on. Never mind. I think Green Book might have been second, but
I think Green Book is definitely the one that is giving Roma the run for its money.
And you've gone on record saying this is a bad movie.
I don't think it's as bad as everyone says it is. I just think,
but it is anti-Italian.
It is anti-Italian for sure.
Oh my god.
But I think that it's incredibly old-fashioned. There's nothing special about it or cinematic about it. It's a message movie. It really is just like an update of Driving Miss Daisy. It's the reverse of Driving Miss Daisy.
It doesn't give it points for intertextuality?
No. I just think that, like, I don't think it's a terrible movie at all. I just think, like, in a year where you have movies like Roma and The Favorite, like, it would be embarrassing to have Green Book be your best picture winner.
Well, these people love to embarrass themselves.
I mean, Green Book would not be as bad a win as Argo, but it would be close.
We've come so far since Argo.
I know.
Doesn't that movie end with, like, an American flag blowing in the wind as he reunites with his family?
I barely remember that movie. Ben
Affleck deserves that back tattoo. Can the Oscars be fixed, William?
Okay, so I have developed a plan to fix the Oscars because I think that ultimately my destiny in life is to save the Academy Awards.
It's great that you have a purpose.
So here is my plan. First, they need to have either 5 Best Picture nominees or 10. No more 7 or 8 or 9 or depending on what the year is. Like, they have to pick one.
I couldn't agree more, and I think it should be 10 because at least then you're going to expose people to more movies that should be seen, even though they're constantly nominating undeserving movies.
I agree. And I also think that it's easy to pick 10 great movies. Like, I don't think that's that hard. We already talked about not repeating the same political speech over and over and over again. Maybe have one designated person do it. I think they should, first of all, I think in principle they should not cut any categories from the telecast.
Like, I agree.
Under no circumstances. I think it's so offensive. Like, if they're going to cut anything, cut the host monologue. We're not going to have a host. Or cut the terrible banter that the presenters do. They write this, like, terrible banter. Say what you were going to say.
Cut the banter. I would cut the musical performances because 90% of the time they're terrible. But every once in a while you get, like, an Elliott Smith in the Oscars or a Sue Young Stevens, man. I guess that's fucking me up. But, yeah, get rid of the terrible jokes that they
get
from
rid of the
before
bad
every jokes. Now we are going to talk about Best Supporting Actress. Here is whatever. Okay.
Just have an announcer say Best Art Direction and read the nominees. Like, it's not complicated.
All right.
If they're going to cut any categories, I would argue for cutting the short film categories. Because no one actually sees those films and no one has access to those films.
Right.
And actually, my biggest thing to fix the Oscars is to force Academy members to see movies the way the general public sees movies. So, like,
send them to the theaters?
Well, as of right now, you are eligible for an Oscar if you were released before December 31st for, like, 2 days in either New York or L.A.
Right.
That is a terrible way. Like, if no one can see your movie, if no one has access to your movie, you shouldn't be eligible for the Oscars. So I think the rule should be you have to be in wide release before Christmas if you want to be nominated for the Oscars. And that's actually the one I feel most strongly about. And that will also help people actually fucking see these movies because that's the whole point, is to see them.
Did any nominated Best Picture movie come out after Christmas? Maybe not this year, but that has happened before.
Yeah, but now what's happened is they all get released after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And they don't always come out in wide release. So, like, a movie like Beale Street came out in December, but it's only just having a wider release now.
That might be for the best.
It wasn't great.
It's very bad.
Yeah, I would say very
Lifetime,
bad.
Lifetime movie with an Instagram filter on it.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I think that the ceremony should take place the first week of January.
What's your rationale there?
because A, it would force them to release the movies earlier and more widely so people can see them.
Right.
And you wouldn't have to watch a dozen other award shows before the Oscars.
Okay.
And so it would be less predictable.
Like that.
I also think that the Academy needs to be more – this is the last one. The Academy members need to be more accountable for actually voting and seeing these movies.
This is what I was going to say.
Yeah. I just – I had a friend this year who's a SAG voter who – so he votes for the SAG Awards. He didn't fucking watch his screeners.
What was he doing, William?
And he didn't vote. And it's like Spider-Man, like with great power comes great responsibility. And if you are a member of one of these
who could wield more power than a voter for Screen Actors Guild
Award? No, but like what he did is not unusual. Like these actors are busy, they're working. They maybe see a couple of these movies and then they go on word of mouth. Like people need to fucking watch these movies before they vote. Even if that means voting by committee. Like I'm so sick of like hearing celebrities like getting asked like, oh, what movies did you see this year? And they've only seen like two of the nominees. Like you can't vote for Best Picture if you haven't seen all of them.
I agree, William. I think that one, the voting body should be made public.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is accountable. And
the
two,
voting body is public.
Oh, it is public.
Mm.
Why aren't we killing these people? I assume they were still alive because we didn't know who they were.
Oh, my God.
They're doing a terrible job. But, yeah, you shouldn't be able to vote for a movie. Like, they should have to see the movie and, like, be confirmed that they see it.
Exactly. Exactly. And they should be, like, it's an honor to vote for the Oscars. And mostly I'm just saying that because I believe that I should be the sole voter for the Oscars.
I couldn't think, well, no, you don't even like Moonstruck. We can't have you in charge of the Oscars. We
Broadcast
should have you in charge
News
of the Oscars.
Has won that year.
Two Best Picture nominees, Roma and First Reformed. That's it. Got to get down to two nominees.
And Can You Ever Forgive Me? So it'd be
oh,
three.
Right, three.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, three.
That's my radical plan for how to fix the Oscars.
Will you finally boycott this year?
No.
Why not? You want to see if they have Alec Baldwin host?
The Oscars is like my whole identity. It's my whole shtick.
Well, hopefully after 4 years, this podcast will finally get you a voting card.
I will never boycott the Oscars.
Well, you say that every year, but every year we have problems with them.
But there's always at least one moment that I'm like really happy that I saw.
And that moment will be when Green Book wins Best Picture?
I mean, I think it'll be when Glenn Close finally wins, which I'm pretty excited about.
And she gives a pandering prefab speech about how the wife has written the book.
We will not be accepting criticism of Glenn Close at this time.
She's an icon. I say it only in jest. The movie she was in was terrible, but she was fine in it. There were better performances, but how many times has she been nominated?
This is her seventh.
Give her an Oscar for damages.
At least she's not winning for Albert Nobbs. Imagine if she'd won for that.
That's where she dresses as a man?
That was her last nomination.
Well, I didn't see the film, so I can't comment on it, but I assume she was great. She's only, but, you know, they're going to give her the Oscar for the one movie she was bad in?
I don't think she's bad in it. We're not going to.
You gave her a 7.2.
That's a pretty good score.
That's a C-.
I would give Yalitza Aparicio a lower score than that, and she's nominated. I would give her a 5.8.
Richard Brody?
And that was my favorite movie of the year, and I would give her a lower score.
She's astounding in that movie.
She does well. Her character's likable, and she says the line, but she's not doing a performance. Like,
disagree. any closing comments this year?
No, I think that's it. I'm actually pretty excited because I genuinely don't feel confident about who's going to win. So I'm curious to see if I get surprised or not.
Maybe just restate all your predictions with the people who you think are going to win for the listeners.
Okay. Picture, Green Book. Director, Alfonso Cuarón. actor Rami Malek, actress Glenn Close, supporting actor Mahershala Ali, supporting actress Regina King, adapted screenplay Black Klansman, and original screenplay Green Book.
This is brutal.
I know.
This is brutal. I think I hate every movie that's going to win something.
Well, Alfonso's going to win director.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Consolation prize.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on again, William.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciates your thoughts. I'll talk to you in exactly 1 year.
Great. I'll talk to you in a year.
All right. Goodbye.
Fabulous. Bye.